Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled, Having Done All, Stand. And I was just laying an introduction or foundation, if you will, on yesterday's broadcast. We shared together Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13, where Paul, if I can just paraphrase briefly, he was saying, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. He said, you know, wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against the demonic rulers of the darkness of this world. Verse 13, he says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And one of the important things that I'm going to be sharing in today and in the next several days, as long as the Lord would have me, is the importance of one of the fruit of the Spirit that is listed in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, as a very, very important part of our spiritual weaponry, if you will. And I shared the fruit of the Spirit, according to King James Version, found in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Now, some of the modern translations, and I'll just share the NIV, instead of long-suffering, they institute or use the word patience. Instead of gentleness, they use kindness. Instead of meekness, they use gentleness. Of course, these are all nuances of meaning. Instead of temperance, they use, many of the new translations, self-control. So what we're going to be looking at is long-suffering or patience, and I'll use those words, if you will, interchangeably. They basically convey the same sense of what the definition, which I'm going to be sharing with you. And so we might want to ask, well, what is patience, if you will, or long-suffering? The meanings are very similar. And that is, patience, according to Webster, is to bear pain or trials without complaint. Secondly, it means to show self-control or calm. Thirdly, the third nuance of meaning is to be steadfast and persevering. Now, beloved, if you're a regular listener, I make these broadcasts weeks in advance. Sometimes you may wonder, why don't I speak to the issue at hand? What's going on in our nation? Well, as I said, I make the broadcast weeks in advance. And when I'm making this right now, it's actually March, this is an April broadcast, that we're in the throes of a national emergency. A worldwide pandemic has been declared with the coronavirus, and there are major shutdowns of schools and large gatherings and sports events and all manner of events, and many people are walking in extreme fear. And so, beloved, regardless of the times in which we are living, the Word of God is applicable to every season of our life, to every time in human history. Even though it was written centuries ago, if you will, it is just as applicable for our 21st century life as it was when it was originally penned. And so, again, going back to the definition of long-suffering or patience, we can go through pain or trials without complaint. We can show, as God's people, self-control or calm. We can be steadfast and persevering, knowing that our times, our lives, are in the hand of God. I just recently read something that someone had shared in terms of David Wilkerson. He said, I don't have it in front of me, but the sense was, we have absolutely no reason to fear if we have submitted and yielded to God. Our lives, whatever happens to us, are in God's hands. So there's no need to fear. If we're really yielded to the Lord, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And if we look at things from that perspective, we should never allow fear, except the fear of the Lord, to dominate us or to rule us. And so we need to be at all times showing self-control and calm. Why? Because we believe the word of God. So as I said, and also we're to fulfill the sufferings of Christ, knowing that if we can partake in the power of his resurrection, we also can endure the difficult times in which we are living. And when that certainly doesn't mean Jesus, his suffering, his death, the atonement, the price that he paid was totally sufficient. We can neither by our own penance, if you will, as some believe, or by the things we go through add to our salvation. It is complete. But we can learn, as Jesus did, to deny self, to seek to do the Father's will. That's what it means to partake of the sufferings of Christ. He did the things that did not please himself. He came to be a servant. He left the glories of heaven. He's king of the universe. He laid down that aside, his royalty, to enter into the human condition. And he experienced all the things that we go through, was tested and tempted as we are, yet without sin. So being patient means that we can be steadfast and persevering in the trials. I'm headed a certain direction, so just hang in there with me. Now, there's many references in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there's only one reference to the word actual patience or patient. That's found in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, which says to be patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, talking about long suffering, we know that it is one of God's attributes. The very definition of long suffering is to be, it means long and patient endurance, that's the noun, of offense. It's long and patient endurance of offense. We can see certainly how that is part of God's character dealing with the human race. Remember, again, I'm going to give scriptures. Moses said, and the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. In Psalm 86, verse 15, the psalmist declared, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now, why is God long-suffering? And this is very important. It is stated, the purpose of God's long-suffering in Romans 9:22 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Therefore, God's long-suffering is the enduring of wickedness of the vessels of wrath, or those that are committed and will not be turned in rebellion and in defiance to their wicked ways. Now, God doesn't create a hell and then decides, well, you're going to be good seed, you'll be bad seed, I'll send you to heaven, I'll send you to hell. No, it's hardly, he's not willing that any should perish. That's that we have to take the whole word of God and understand God is a gracious God, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. But he knows the future, and he knows that in spite of all the long-suffering and his dealings with mankind in general and with individuals in particular, that by their continued choice, they refuse the salvation offered in Jesus. They refuse his goodness. They refuse God's love. And so, as a result, having made God an agent of free will, there he does not tamper with our ability to choose, that we choose to accept the Lord or we choose to deny him and walk away. And so he's powerless, if you will, as far as our choices. If we don't want to be near him, if we don't want any part of him, well, then he honors that. And he sends us. Hell was never designed for mankind, for those, but for the devil and his angels. If those continually the wicked, the vessels of wrath, continue to harden their hearts, then they are fitted for destruction by their own choosing. And why is God long-suffering? Well, I can give you the definition if you want to know why. It's found in 2 Peter 3:9, where Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, beloved, have you ever had the unsaved, "If there's a God, why does he allow all the sickness? Why does he let little children suffer?" Well, why? The answer, I just gave you the answer. He's long-suffering to the wickedness and evil of mankind because he's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance, that they would acknowledge there is a God who is the opposite. The devil, Jesus defeated him, but he's still the God of this world. We make a choice, and he won't be put underfoot until the king returns and sends him bound for 1,000 years. And so, beloved, that's a good answer to give. Why does God allow terrible things to happen? And then, of course, in 2 Peter 3:15, it says the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. That's pretty amazing. The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. 3:9, let me read it. "The Lord does not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, beloved, my time is just about drawing to a close. There's an important scripture, but I'll have to wait till tomorrow to share that with you. So I pray that you'll be able to be with me at the same time. If you ever miss a broadcast, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You may click and listen anytime at your convenience to the broadcasts that are archived there. I love you, and as always, I invite you to send your prayer requests. I love to hear from you, and know that whenever you do write, I pray personally for you. No one else reads or prays. It is a sacred trust that God has given me before the Lord. And so when you write, know that I'll personally pray for you and send back whatever the Lord gives to be a blessing to your heart. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.